858-858.
Sarah Warmby, China has told Australia to stop interfering in the case of a Chinese-Australian writer while confirming Yung Hung Jun is being held on suspicion of criminal activities. Foreign Minister Maurice Payne has said she is deeply disappointed the writer and former diplomat has been transferred to criminal detention. She says if he's being detained for his political views, then he should be released. But a spokesman for China's foreign ministry says Beijing is carrying out a lawful investigation. Thousands of people around Australia have rallied for the freedom of Manus Island and Nauru asylum seekers to mark the sixth anniversary of offshore detention. Protesters are calling for refugees in detention to be brought to Australia. Friday marked 6 years since the Rudd Labor government reintroduced offshore detention for asylum seekers who arrived by boat. Marcella Brassett from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre says she has concerns about the detainees' medical treatment, which she says is inadequate.
There is no medical care fit for the complex needs of people detained on that island, on Manus and Nauru, in traumatic conditions. People's mental and physical health is rapidly deteriorating.
A fourth person has been charged over an alleged $100 million money laundering syndicate operating in southwest Sydney. The 30-year-old man was arrested at Sydney Airport as he was preparing to board a flight to New Zealand on Friday morning. Police alleged the man was a member of the syndicate and attempted to defraud an investment company in Singapore of $2.5 million. He was refused bail and appeared at Central Local Court on Friday and will reappear at the same court on Tuesday. The search will continue today for a man who was last seen in Victoria's Alpine region 2 days ago. 23-year-old Jeremy Boyden was last seen on Dargo High Plains Road north of Dargo on Friday afternoon. He was last seen wearing a green and gold jumper, black tracksuit, and is believed to be only wearing one running shoe. Investigators believe he may also be with a white and brown Jack Russell Terrier named Rocky. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. Thousands of pro-government marchers have turned out in Hong Kong calling for an end to violence ahead of another anti-government demonstration. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell has more.
They've turned out today, they say, to support Hong Kong's government and also the city's riot police, who've been criticised for their at times heavy-handed suppression of the mass rallies in support of democracy and opposing a controversial bill to allow for extradition to mainland Chinese courts. Now, while this gathering is not as big as those in the sort of pro-democracy camp, if you like, there are nevertheless thousands of people here.
Briefly, British Airways has abruptly suspended flights to Cairo for a week over security concerns. And across the United States, a moonstruck nation has celebrated the 50th anniversary of humanity's first footsteps on another world, gathering in record heat at races and other festivities to commemorate Apollo 11's giant leap by Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. This is Air News. 164 riders took the start of stage 14 of the Tour de France. Terry Daniel has more.
An enraged Thibaut Pinot has put the hammer down on the first major mountain test of the Tour de France, leading a French 1-2 ahead of overall leader Julian Alaphilippe to triumph at the top of the iconic Col du Tourmalet. On a Saturday of surprises, meanwhile, defending champion Geraint Thomas lost contact in the final kilometre of the brutal ascent to the cloud-clad Pyrenean Pass, ending 2,115 metres above sea level. The best Australian in the stage was Richie Porte, who finished 2 minutes and 5 seconds behind Pinot. Terry Daniel, Air Sport.
Canberra coach Ricky Stewart admits it was ugly, but the Raiders continued their push for a top four spot after downing West Tigers 20-12. The home side won in front of more than 100 old boys celebrating the 30th anniversary of the club's 1989 grand final win against Balmain. There were wins also to the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. The Lions are now second on the AFL ladder after a win over the Kangaroos 87-75. The Dockers have beaten the Swans by a single point. The Giants defeated the Magpies 122-75, and the Blues and Tigers also posted wins. Leeds United will leave Australia with a victory after a scrappy 2-1 win against A-League club Western Sydney Wanderers last night, and Australians Matthew Carter and Madison Keeney have won diving gold at the World Championships in South Korea. Australian Independent Radio News.
Warrawee Needy.
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Can you meet you in front from Microphone of Liar?
And the stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English sire.
Start with a Dali Stallion, and the rest will follow.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko. Tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1800 858 858.
Player to play for Australia, Faith Thomas, Jason Gillespie, and now Ash Gardner has a wicket to her name.
Brayley Johnson pounds him with the drive.
Night scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Oh, I tell you what, it's a very stern look that Ray Thomas has just given me too. And I mentioned something about the 11 that he was putting together for the Ashes. I don't think there's anyone in this country more excited about the Ashes than you.
Oh, I do love it.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Jimmy. If you had told me at the start of this winter or the Northern Hemisphere summer, you can't have the World Cup and the Ashes, which one would you take? I'd take the Ashes each and every time.
So. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because they didn't get the World Cup.
I know, yeah.
Neither did New Zealand.
Oh,
which is
that's ridiculous.
Panel operator Hamish is... Well, depending...
Cannot be serious!
Jeez, on fire this morning. Yeah. I tell you what, depending on what sporting team it is and how well they're travelling, he's either a New Zealander or a Central Coast resident. So, either way...
But wasn't that an extraordinary game and so many twists and turns in that World Cup final?
It's an age ago, right? Because we only get a chance to have a chat every week.
Many different stats and reasons why England won, New Zealand lost and vice versa came out. But one that really struck me was there's been over 4,200 ODIs since the first ODI in Melbourne in 71, I think
it
was.
Yes.
Of that time, it's the first time ever... The team batting second and chasing was bowled out and still won.
So Say that again. The team batting second was
so chasing,
last ball of the day.
They were bowled out and they still won the
last ball of the day. Last
it wasn't
ball.
The end.
just the most extraordinary game of sport. And what I loved was in 2019, you can do this, that the ICC and Wimbledon were tweeting each other.
Yeah, how good was that?
That is, how are things going over there?
We're going okay. We're
a little bit of a tight situation here. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, wasn't that an extraordinary match too? Djokovic versus Federer. 8-7, fifth set.
Yeah, okay.
Federer should have won it. 8-7, fifth set, 40-15 on his serve. Missed both his first serves, loses the point. Gets back to 40-all. Djokovic finds a way to break back.
And played the tiebreakers better than Roger.
He did, yeah.
Novak?
He won more games, Roger. Won more points. Mm. Won more points on serve. All the stats were in his way, except
final
result.
The big points.
Yeah.
Novak Djokovic, what a star he is. Doesn't quite get the love and the adoration that Roger gets.
And
I wonder if that's a sticking point for him. I know it is for you.
How about his mindset? He was asked about that, and he said, look, when the crowd are obviously cheering for Roger, etc., I've managed to turn that around as if they're cheering for me. So somehow he's managed to get himself his mindset so focused on winning and trying to turn negatives into positives. Whatever works for you, works for him.
What an incredible sportsman.
Mm.
What an incredible sportsman. He was a very good player on the tour, and then he went away and said, right, and had won a couple of majors, and then he went away and said, right, I have to change my whole lifestyle.
Mm.
To get the best out of me, I need to be doing this. And he refined everything in his life to become now, arguably, the greatest champion of all time. He's got 16 majors.
He's after
your man.
He wants him too, yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of great sportsmen, I know this gentleman perhaps isn't everyone's favourite cricketer. Everyone admires his talent, Ben Stokes. Did you hear what he said? Apparently he went to the umpires after the ball bounced off his bat and streaked
went
the boundary
for
four.
Yeah.
He said, guys, you shouldn't count that. He said they shouldn't rule on that boundary and should just count it.
There was the damning photograph where the players hadn't crossed when Martin Guptill.
So it should have been five instead of six. Correct.
Correct. So which is crucial.
Mm.
Absolutely crucial. But yeah, I did hear about that from Ben Stokes.
Great sportsmanship. And then
great sportsmanship. Yeah.
And he also
Ben Stokes, I think, he's almost a beacon of sportsmanship.
Well, you got to look at it. And he also gave due praise to Kane Williamson and the New Zealanders as well. So he handled himself particularly well in a moment when, England somehow managed to conjure a win out of the jaws of defeat in one of the great games of all time.
One of the all-time great games. We've had some good games of footy over the course of this weekend. The Broncos way back on Thursday, too strong. The Sharks season is falling out backwards. The Panthers, like they've never been away. They flogged your other team, the Dragons. How do you go on Friday night when you sit there and you watch that, Roman?
Tanya thought it was funny because every time a team scored, I clapped. I couldn't lose, but
St.
George's seasons are in free fall now.
The Dragons did comfortably.
They're in desperate trouble, aren't they?
Is Paul McGregor under pressure?
Well, according to the report this morning, no, he's not. Can I ask you a question, Jim? Why did McGregor rest Ben Hunt?
I don't know.
If you're a footballer and you've come out of an Origin series and obviously you tie, but your team is desperate to stay in the finals race,
yes.
Don't you find a way to play if you're not injured? And then if somehow your team makes the finals, maybe look to get the week off the last round, something like that. But
go away till Friday or something.
Yeah, shouldn't you be there for the game?
I thought it was an unusual one. I think that Paul McGregor, he's got another two-year deal after this one.
Yeah.
I don't think he's under pressure, and the reason is this, is that there are so many distractions that he can point to this year. Top of that list is
Jamie DeBellin, 100%.
Top of that list. Mm. So that is what he can point to, and he may well be right. It has been so destabilising.
Oh.
Not only have you lost your best forward, your best middle forward, you've also lost $600,000 off your salary cap, and you've also been distracted.
Correct.
Every time he turns up for training.
And players are only human, and they're seeing their teammates suffer, so he's going to training alongside them. It must have an impact. What do you make of the Panthers? Probably the best they've played all season. They played against South on a Friday night game early in the season when they played very well and lost. But that's the best that Penrith have played all season. In the second half, they were fantastic.
Here's one for you. I spoke to a Panthers insider yesterday, and he said, we're just so happy now.
Yeah.
It's just everyone is happy now.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And you know what? He highlighted one of the things that was significant in that, and I thought this was very interesting, and I hadn't considered it, and it's amazing when you're not on the inside, but you're not really sure.
Yeah.
He said, ever since Dallin Watene Zalesniak has left, there's been a much more team-focused approach to the squad. Isn't it very interesting?
I tell you what is a breath of fresh air. Brian To'o.
Oh, what a star.
He's fantastic. Got a bit of swagger about him and scores tries, enjoys the game, was interviewed afterwards, spoke very well. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Breath of fresh air.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. Not a big man either.
No.
By any stretch.
But gets good yardage, can bring the ball back, and fantastic.
Shot across the bows from the Roosters yesterday, especially in that final 20 minutes.
Did you watch that game? Did you call
it? I watched the last bit of it, yeah.
What happened to the Knights?
The Roosters got to a point where they were both competing, both sides competing, and then the Knights didn't compete that well. I mean, if you do that against the Roosters with that star-studded lineup, they just blow you away.
The big news coming out of that game, though, the injury again to Jake Friend's bicep. This is really bad luck for him. He looked like he was on the way back, and Trent Robbins saying, I've finally got all my captains on the field.
Yes.
And they're losing Jake Friend for 4 weeks, probably 2 months. Possibly.
4 to 8 weeks. They're not really sure. It's where the tendon was attached on his bicep, mm-hmm. where the screw is. There's a crack in the bone
that cause a stress fracture, is it?
Must have. I don't know. Anyway, impact injury. And so they're a little bit unsure about that one. He's a loss.
Mm.
He's a loss. A couple of options there. Sam Verrills into the hooker position or Victor Radley back there. So that's the decision. But that's the only negative for the Roosters out of that one. The Raiders, 20 points to 12. Michael Maguire just went not happy with his Tigers after that one. Bit scrappy, but they get the job done. And the Cowboys... Well, they looked like they were home and hose until the Rabbitohs
18-12, 7 minutes to go.
Yeah, bang, bang, bang. And the Rabbitohs get a victory in that one.
And your man Cam Murray again.
Well, no, he's not my man. I actually played against his father. His father played for the Rabbitohs back in the early 90s, Corey Murray, which I didn't know until a couple of weeks ago that was his father.
Okay.
But Cameron Murray, the benefit he's got out of that State of Origin series, I mean, he was a very, very good player going into it. He's an out-and-out star now. Just a superb player for them. Titans beat the Storm today. That'll be interesting. How do they bounce back after the sacking of Garth Brennan? And looking forward to this one, Roman. Seagulls up against the Eels down at Lotto Land. So
massive
that'll be a
game.
Good clash as well. Racing yesterday at HQ, Roman?
Yeah, good afternoon. Blake Shin's farewell to Sydney Racing.
Got a little suspension to take with him.
He did, yeah. It's not going to matter much because he's not going to be riding until the start of September. But his form over the last... Well, 6 months really since he came back from that neck injury. He's just been phenomenal. Has been rewarded with his Hong Kong riding contract. And, look, he'll be a success wherever he goes. He's just riding so well, Jim. A couple of nice winners there yesterday. I like the win of the two-year-old Excellent Proposal. We'll talk to Michael Friedman a little bit later. And Blake Shin's win on Haute Brion Her, which is a French wine, Haute Brion. Promising filly, really going places.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have a chat with Wayne Hawks, Michael Friedman, and Theodore Nugent.
Yes.
Give us a little bit of a background on Theodore Nugent.
Victoria's first time I spoke to him, met the man yesterday, only a young bloke, 21, speaks very well. He's currently Victoria's leading apprentice, locked in a battle for the premiership title with Michael Poy. He was reluctant to come up to Sydney yesterday because he wanted to try to win this premiership. But he was rewarded with a winning ride on Dr. Drill, first race ride at Randwick, winner.
He's doing it pretty the jockey's premiership, the apprentice premiership, isn't he?
He's about six in front, but Michael Poy did ride a winner yesterday on a very promising filly, Sylvia's Mother, and hopefully we'll talk to Wayne Hawks about her a little bit later.
Can I ask you the question? It's a difficult one. Who's the best female sports person in Australia?
Elise Perry.
Well, there you go. Mm. Just 116 for Elise in that test match.
Took an opening wicket too.
Yeah. So she's remarkable. There's a couple of other nominees you could put in there. But
yeah, Australia win the Ashes, won't they? Because this is the day four. England are 6 for 199. Australia, first innings, 8 declared 420. England need to win this match. Only one day left, so it's almost certainly going to be no result. So
they've had time off the field too with rain. So that makes it all very hard when you've got a four-day test match. You've got to get through four innings to get a result. We got a result in the Netball World Cup.
Yes.
Australia are through to the final. Their sixth consecutive meeting with New Zealand.
In the World Cup.
In the World Cup final.
And this is the eighth consecutive World Cup final for the Diamonds.
So Diamonds beat South Africa 55-53. And then New Zealand beat England 47-45. So tight games.
And remember, Australia beat New Zealand by 1 point, 50-49 by memory, in their clash in their previous game. So it's going to be an absolute thriller.
Wallabies have been defeated by South Africa 35-17. Scored a good try. Bernie Foley, we saw the pass around the corner. That was a positive.
Curly Beal. Yeah.
So that was disappointing there for the Wallabies. And if we're looking from an AFL point of view, let's...
Carlton won again, Jim.
Oh, fair dinkum. Who's coaching them now?
Give that bike the job, David.
Dave Teague.
Is the job.
What's Chris Judd going to come out and say this week to upset him?
Oh, no, he's retracted that.
Has he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. I think David Teague's something in the mix.
Did he retract? Did he wait a week to retract it so he could do it on his same media outlet? he did.
I think he did, didn't
he?
That's right, because Caroline Wilson...
classified.
That's right, Caroline Wilson was interviewing him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Well, hang on, I've got something to say on Tuesday, but I'm not on until next Monday, so I've got to wait till then. By the way, I'm football manager of the club.
Funny about that.
How did that first meeting go after the football manager of the club walked in with the interim coach and said, look, sorry about that, mate. Might have got that a little wrong. The Swannies go down by a point. That's disappointing.
But the Giants, huge win.
Flogged the Magpies, which was... during the course of the week, did Bill and Boz, and I met Stephen Cornelio, was supposed to be on. Of course, missed that with that knee injury. Adam Tomlinson was on. Now, he played in the very first game that the Giants ever played.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was an 18-year-old kid. He's about 24 years of age now. Lovely fellow. Really nice fellow.
That's got their season back on track too, the Giants. They needed that win.
And that was in the lead up to that game. So he was pretty confident without being over the top for that game against the Magpies. So well done to them on that one. Hey, just before we get to an ad break, we've got to make mention of
the British Open.
Shane Lowry. Who? Shane Lowry.
The Irishman,
yeah,
in Ireland, in the British Open.
It's Northern Ireland as opposed to the Republic of Ireland. That might be a little bit of a concern. Four-shot leader after a third-round 63.
8-under-63, shot the lights out. But anything can happen in the British Open. If the wind gets up or the weather turns in, he's got a four-shot lead set over Fleetwood, Holmes. Your man Brooks Koepka there again. He's within striking distance. He's 7 off the pace at tied for 4th at 9-under. Gee, he's consistent in the majors, isn't he?
Unbelievable. Zorba will be up very shortly. Jared Daffy will have a chat too as well. Luke Burgess, one of the Burgess boys. We've got to find out what's happening with Sam and his health. But
what's your mail there with the shoulder and the infection?
I think it's very standard procedure now to get the medicine directly to where you need it, you do that. That's the procedure. I've heard about it a couple of times. But Luke Burgess is about to make his boxing debut. That's next Saturday over at Luna Park. So we'll have a chat to him about that. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. Event Cinema's quiz score update.
Did I win last week?
You did.
Is it 14-13?
No.
15-13.
It's a mini break.
Yeah, mini
it's a
break.
Mini break, Ray. And for the best contribution today, we have the Wingman beer. We've got to the bottom of all that.
Is that all sorted?
It's all sorted.
Outstanding.
It's all sorted.
I knew you'd come through in the crunch.
Look at this. We've got it's the updated version, isn't it? The collected edition. Hardcover. 33 consecutive wins, all races by Ray Thomas.
Yeah.
So Ray Thomas, just wondering, how are the checks going? What would they be?
Can you handle that for me?
There you come. You know I'm going to get to write my book? Ray Thomas. A book about nothing.
But you've had a wonderful life.
You won't even ask for a fee. You won't ask for a fee, will you? I'll be thinking, when's Ray going to invoice me? No, he won't invoice me. That'll be fine.
Before we get to your talk topic.
Yes.
Ashes squad. Massive game starts at Southampton this week. In 2 days' time, Australia versus Australia A, so to speak.
Yes.
They're saying it's not a selection decider for the Ashes. Well, of course it is.
Tell James Patterson.
Of course it
that.
Is. I reckon that 9 out of the 11 are a lock.
Okay.
There's two spots up for grabs.
Right, which two?
Well, I've got Warner and Harris opening. I know you haven't.
No.
I've got Khawaja first drop, Smith to head. Number 6, really interesting. Is it Patterson? Is it Matthew Wade? Or is it Alex Carey? I'm going Curtis Patterson, although I do think Alex Carey's batted so well.
Yes.
The numbers in first-class cricket just sway me to Patterson, apart from the fact he's made a great start to his test career, with a century already in 2 tests. He averages 47 in first-class cricket.
Yes.
Alex Carey averages, in first-class cricket, 29. And Matthew Wade, who's been Australia's form batsman for a couple of years, he averages 40 in first-class cricket. I'd go with Pattinson, but I'd be interested in your call. Payne takes the gloves. Lyons, our spinner, Stark and Cummins are a lock. The third paceman, is it Hazelwood or James Pattinson?
Hazelwood.
I don't know.
I've gone Hazelwood at this point.
You need to take wickets, eh?
Joe Burns is my opener and Curtis Patterson is my number six.
Fair enough.
So that's our thoughts on that one. Yes, so on the back of those outstanding games on Sunday, mm-hmm. Sunday night our time, the greatest games ever played, and of course the 30-year reunion for the 89 Grand Final. They had a big function down there in Canberra. So the greatest games, the greatest sports events.
Have a go.
89 Grand Final.
Okay.
89 Grand Final. Extra time.
Yeah, hard to
fairy
beat.
Fairy tale story. History created. All of that. Hard to beat.
Okay. Different sport. I'll go boxing. Have you ever watched the full Ali versus Frazier Manila 1975?
I have not.
Worth doing. 14 rounds, the most extraordinary toe-to-toe heavyweights clubbing themselves. It's amazing.
So that's it. That's your nomination?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1353 53, the open line number. Give us your thoughts. SMS 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. We'll better get to a break. And after that, we'll have more on the program.
Business is thriving and we're growing really fast. I want to keep the momentum and open a second garage, but I just don't have the cash.
So you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you expand your business, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications have a fabulous filly. Buy a champion from a champion to be trained by Kieran Maher. Arrowfield Stud has joined us in this filly by Snitzel, Australia's champion sire. From fictional account, Ireland's champion mare was a stakes winner at Ascot and Nakara. Be part of our dynamic Arrowfield and Kieran Maher team in our Super Snitzel filly for $12,825 per share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
It's Cheval Grand! Cheval Grand goes on and wins the Japan Cup!
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe,
first time, every time,
is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Looking for a way to add more fun and excitement to your next racing bet? Well, you need to try Tab's new odds and evens. Just choose whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens, or split, or you can spin the wheel for a suggested bet. Odds and evens is available on all Australian racing, so whether it's horses, harness, or greyhounds, take a spin on the first two place getters for a simple and fun way to bet. Tab, who are you backing? Available for New South Wales Tab customers only. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Dukan, the next one. Yogi's over on the inside, but the Zero's Welfare at the moment, led by four lengths here from over on the inside, Sort of Boy. Yogi is whacking away. Likewise, Social Element, but the Zero's well clear from Yogi and Social Element, and a wonderful tactical ride by Matt McGilvray. Zero bulked in the Queensland Cup, won it by three lengths, Social Element.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Race replay time. Jim, your favourite time of the show. I mentioned earlier, excellent proposal. Did a good job to win the first. We'll talk to Michael Friedman shortly. Let's listen to excellent proposal maintain his unbeaten record.
Pixel Perfect in front of length, clear from Frosty Rocks. Heaven Fun's about to get into the clear. Roman Wolf still there. Mandela has got nowhere to go at the moment. Excellent proposal runs on. Still no run for the favourite. At the 200, it's Pixel Perfect giving a side. A length clear from Heaven Fun. Excellent proposal is coming home. Mandela is getting out late. It's Pixel Perfect clear. Excellent proposal coming really late. Pixel Perfect gripping on. Excellent proposal dived. Got it. Excellent proposal. Last hop to beat Pixel Perfect.
So you mentioned Michael Friedman, impressive two-year-old there. Where do we think?
Yeah, look, it's
forward.
Early doors. We'll talk to Michael. The horse is entered for the Golden Rose. Of course, any three-year-old or rising three-year-old, any sort of ability would be amongst those entries. But
sure. He's
two from two. He's led in one. He's come from off-speed in one.
That wasn't really planned, was it?
Not yesterday. No. Slow out of the gates. Mandela, again, the hot favourite, very unlucky. It was a few horses yesterday who had no luck. The rail being out wide, there wasn't a lot of room in the straight, and a few horses held up like Mandela. But all you can do is win, and he's going about his business in the right way. Excellent proposal. On to race three. It was billed as a match between Sir Elton and Hort Brion Herr. Hort Brion Herr, Blake Shin, proves far too good.
around the corner. Horbury on her, really trying to apply the blowtorch to the belly now to Sir Elton at the top of the straight, and she struck the head in front. 300 left to run. Horbury on her, a narrow leader. Sir Elton has to fight on the inside. Two lengths away, Mastide running on. It's Horbury on her, getting the better of Sir Elton now, 100 to go, and the filly's going to be too good. Horbury on her really opens up late, puts the shoulder into them and wins it by two. Second to photo, Sir Elton or Mastide. Then
so the French beat the Brits.
Horbury
on her.
Yeah.
With Sir Elton again.
Very impressive, yeah, and Chris Fowler's got a big opinion of her, and she's a rising four-year-old mare, very lightly raced, but obviously a talent. Sir Elton, I wouldn't sack him on that run. Hugh Bowman said they're not machines apart from Winks. They're not machines.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said they're not machines. I just threw in apart from Winks, because
right.
Winks doesn't get beaten.
Oh.
But they're not machines. He's won his first three starts, beaten in his third start. Maybe that run on the heavy track 2 weeks ago, Jim
right.
Meyer taken a little bit out of him, but he'll go to the paddock and come back an even better horse. On to race six, and Kieran Maher and David Eustace having a terrific debut season with their Warwick Farm stables in Sydney. They brought up their apprentice, Theodore Nugent, for his first ride at Randwick. He gets the cash on Dr. Drill.
Gayatri Costello, then followed Island Missile, Tory Joy still last. Dr. Drill the leader. Over the rise at the 250, kick clear from Spectra. Matawi, then followed Mills, Sean Costello getting out late. Dr. Drill in front, 125 left to run. Still clear from Matawi, Spectra and Costello. Dr. Drill in front, clear, and in a good staying effort. Dr. Drill's too strong. Beat Costello and Matawi, Spectra fourth in.
So Theodore Nugent has had one ride at Royal Randwick for one win. It's not Ted Nugent. You know who Ted Nugent is?
He rings a bell.
It's a band, a Ted Nugent band over in the USA. A mate of mine was over there many years ago and saw them. But very right wing. They unfurl the American flag.
Oh, really?
And there was a picture of Saddam Hussein. pretended to shoot Saddam at the top. This mate of mine was there going, oh, my God, what am I walked into? Great musician, loves his country. So
fair enough.
We're going to be speaking to Theodore Nugent, but
not the Ted Nugent.
Okay.
On to the last at Randwick yesterday. James Cummings, he needs three more winners after Tanico's winning the last to get 100 for the season. Here's Tanico winning for Godolphin.
The widest runner's Tanico. It's Tony Nicone held together over the rise, a length and a half clear from Royal Witness. Natalia called upon, no immediate acceleration there. Power Command. Tanico's coming out wider. Tony Nicone joined by Royal Witness, but Tanico's going right over the top. And from back of the field, Tanico will win the last from a length and a half from Royal Witness and Power Command.
So another one for the Blue Army. And as you say, James Cummings walking towards or charging towards a fantastic record. Little bit of a surprise too, Tanico, in that one, wasn't it? Bit of value there for the punters at $10.
Good ride, Tommy Berry.
Out
the back, patient, unleashed late. This is a really good filly. Her name is Sylvia's mother. Before Jimmy breaks out into song, let's hear her winning at Flemington yesterday.
Breaks box. Sylvia's mother's back to about fourth last. They reach the 350. News Girl Godotten together from JJ Dar. Sylvia's mother's getting into its work. My Pendant Merlis over on the far side at the 200 metres. My Pendant might just be in front, but Sylvia's mother's coming with big strides, followed by Godotten and Merlis. It is My Pendant. Sylvia's mother coming out after it. Sylvia's mother over on the outside. Sylvia's mother, too good, has won from My Pendant, Ruben Blue, Godotten, then Merlis.
She's a promising filly, James.
I might have had a little tip for that one too, so big thank you for Scotty for that. Wayne Hawks there, of course, not related to the Dr. Hook song.
Correct.
Of 1972. Sylvia's mother.
You going to break out into song?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But there are strong reports linking you to singing last night. Is that right?
I was made to sing, yeah.
Made to sing. No one's made to do anything, Ray.
You can't say no when people are saying, take the microphone.
Okay,
sing.
What'd you go with? What's your...
It was Hey Jude, yeah.
Ray Thomas does Hey Jude.
Yeah. It wasn't very good. Tanya did We Can't Start the Fire. Billy Joel, yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one with the lyrics.
She knew them all, too.
Really?
Didn't have to
there
read it.
Go. There you go. Hey Jude, a little bit slower gives you a time to get really close to the monitor and get what... You got those lyrics covered?
they're pretty easy to cover. Hey, just a quick one.
Oh, sorry.
No,
I didn't realise I was doing the program.
One of the all-time classic songs.
McCartney.
No. Quick message from Tom Magnier last night.
Yes.
Now, this is significant. Both horses have arrived safely. They're in Melbourne at the moment. Amazing to have the only two living US Triple Crown winners on Australian turf. That's American Pharaoh and Justify. They'll soon come to New South Wales to Coolmore's Hunter Valley, where they'll stand this spring breeding season. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Okay. Mm. On the one plane?
you've created a lot of talk about that little question last week. Really interesting.
I can't believe it wasn't thought of earlier.
Yeah.
But anyway, 1353 53, the open line number. Let's get to callers. Rod is on the line. G'day, Rod.
Can you hear me, son?
Very well, bud.
We didn't start the fire, Ray, to get the song right.
Well, what did Ray say?
What do I say, Rod?
Wing fire or some bloody thing, I don't know.
We didn't start the fire. Is that right, Tan? Yeah, Billy Joel one, yeah.
Great song.
Bit of easy, good one for you, Jimmy. Today, down here at Narrabundi, it's a shell over Sharks in reserve grade. There's a front row of the Blattner boys, as a father and his two sons, mate. His father's about 50, still playing footy.
Is that right?
Yeah, and his two sons are playing with him today. So it's a bit of an, I don't know, it's ever happened again. I'll put it out to your listeners before. So, yeah, father and son, massive achievement for him. I promise I'll give him a call and give him a mention.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So let me guess, the father's one of the front rowers.
You got that one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, one of the big front rowers. Yeah, exactly.
His name's Michael Blattner. He's still a good footballer. He's a good footballer in his day. He won the Michael Cronin Medal down here many years
ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Decent football. He's Bondi United Junior, Jimmy. You'd like him. Yeah, play for them.
There you go. While I got your rod out, what's happening with the Sharks?
Oh, mate, we're setting all sorts of records. Don't get tackled in the opposition 20. Score more tries than anyone else and can't win a game.
Yeah.
Can't kick goals.
Yeah, no, it's not going that way.
Just on that, Jimmy, I think Sean Johnson's talking a bit of a bad rap from the press. He hasn't been playing well, but you've got to remember he came in late in the season, so he's had no pre-season with the team. He's missed a bit of footy himself. So, I think the pressure'd lay off and just next year you might get a better read on what Sean Johnson's going to be up to and what he can do. That's all.
No, mate. No. You pay that guy $1 million. He comes in there. He's an international. You need to get a response from him straight away.
Yeah,
and it's the fact that he drifts out of games that are there to be won. When your $1 million player should be drifting into games they're there to be won.
Which has probably been the concern about Sean Johnson's game right throughout his career, isn't
correct.
It? You know, at times he's dynamic to watch. Other times, think, where is Sean Johnson?
And the problem with those things is, and it's not necessarily when he plays for New Zealand. But when you want them, that's when you won't get them.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
That's the real concern, yeah.
Thank you, Rod. And good luck to the Blattner boys today. That'll be a lifetime
great story,
memory.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning. Listen, Jimmy, I know you had reservations in those race replays. And I up until now, I was with Ray. But I might have to turn over to your side of things now. You can't have race replays this week without having the replay of Billy Pooh style. Malcolm Johnson's first ever win in over 3 years, and you left it out of the replay.
The great man, he had a winner during the week. Now, he's actually had a couple winners lately, Anthony. He's on a bit of a roll, the great man.
Well, he was on a roll on Friday.
I heard that Billy Pooh was his first win in over 3 years. That was wrong, was it?
Wrong, yeah. And I'll look it up while Jimmy tells us the story, because there was a winner he had not that long ago, and I'll tell you who it was in a second.
What about Dave Scott on Friday?
Yeah.
At the D-Lars-Sale function. He had a Kingston Town shirt on.
Really?
So he had Kingston Town on his shirt in Kingston Town colours with a Kingston Town book that he got Miracle Mel to sign.
Gee.
He was that excited about it. Fantastic. What do you got for us, Anthony?
Can
you
reel off all 41
races?
Well,
that was amazing. But winning games, the games, great games. I didn't mind when Bevo got the winning runs of Australia New Zealand one day again. That was
the SCG game.
Hang on, wasn't that the West Indies?
Yeah, West Indies it was.
West Indies, sorry, mate. Yeah,
Last ball of the match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hit the four
Who was
over.
The bowler?
Was it Roger Harper?
Well done, Ray.
Hit the four over his head. Golden Creek won back in June, Anthony. That was, Miracle Mel's on a bit of a roll. A couple of winners in recent weeks.
Hey, he accepts your apology, Anthony.
But I was surprised you didn't put it in because I would have thought that was one of the major things of this week.
It's a very good point, Anthony. Thank you very much for your call.
He's got clever, though, Miracle, because when he wins a race or gets interviewed on TV, I'll ring him. If I'm at work and I can see him on Sky, I'll ring him just to annoy him. He puts his phone on silent now. A couple of times he goes,
Too smart. Hey, talk topic. Excuse me. Cowboys Broncos grand final. Big brother v little brother. Felt scores to lock it up off a Michael Morgan Perler. JT hits the upright with the conversion. Hunt drops the kickoff in extra time. And JT ices it from there. Mark
One
from
of the
Parks.
Great games, wasn't it?
All time great games. G'day, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good really morning, well, Doug.
Morning, Ray. I was talking about Tyson Brazil. Is he going to lead St George Club? So that he
vehemently denied on Friday night.
Called a press conference to do so.
So see what happens from there, I should imagine.
Well, you can only take them at their word, Dougie. And they've said, no, look, there's no way that he's leaving at this point. So we have no reason to believe anything else.
Eye of the Tiger is the name of my song, Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, that's your go-to song for karaoke?
Yes, that's it, mate. I love it.
Mate, I'll tell you what, that'd be worth seeing, I reckon. Dougie
singing Eye of the Tiger.
With Eye of the
What's
Tiger?
Your go-to song, James? Because you do like to burst out into song on occasion.
A bit of Copacabana.
Okay.
I don't mind doing a bit of... What are you laughing at, Ray?
Copacabana.
I'm serious.
What do you think?
A bit of Barry Manilow. Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
With faded feathers in her hair.
Oh, I shouldn't have invited you to do this. Even producer Steve's gone. Oh, it's Hey Jude, isn't it?
I prefer to listen to Paul McCartney than me. Sir Ben Stokes, Sir Paul McCartney and Sir Ray Thomas sing Hey Jude for
Ben
your
Stokes.
Edification. Hey, we're going to take a break. After the break, we'll come back with more. Less singing, more talking.
Hopefully.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggera, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races, already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Race the best with the best. Dynamics Indications have a fabulous filly by a champion from a champion to be trained by Kieran Maher. Arrowfield Stud has joined us in this filly by Snitzel, Australia's champion sire. From fictional account, Ireland's champion mare was a stakes winner at Ascot and Nakara. Be part of our dynamic Arrowfield and Kieran Maher team in our super Snitzel filly for $12,825 per share. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Ever dreamt of owning a share in a racehorse? Running in the world's richest country race? Well, the Kosciuszko is back, and you could win a share in a horse running in the $1.3 million race on Everest Day, October 19. To enter the draw, purchase a $5 Kosciuszko ticket on the Tab app or at your local. The Kosciuszko, tickets on sale now. Entry open to New South Wales residents only. Visit thekosciuszko.com.au for details. Racing New South Wales authorised under New South Wales permit number GOCSC 1042. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
Glory, California legend starting to tire, getting on turns now, defining moment, Door Door, Bullish Glory, and Crown Avenue, defining moment's got it, Door Door, wider out, Crown Avenue, defining moment, a neck to Door Door.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
I mentioned earlier, Jimmy, about excellent proposals, tough effort to win at Randwick yesterday. Thought they'd be up on speed. Race circumstance ended up back midfield, a little bit wide with cover. Did a good job to win. His co-trainer, Michael Freeman, on the line. Michael, good morning. You go 2 from 2. It's not easy to do. This is a colt who's sort of got something about him, Michael.
Morning, Ray. Yeah, he definitely has. He's
as I sort of said after the race yesterday, he's a horse that I think is still, you know, quite a way off being fully furnished, both physically and mentally. He, you know, he still does a few things wrong, and he got a bit worked up before the race there yesterday, but I think there's plenty of upside with him for sure.
Was that it, the reason for the sluggish start, just a little bit worked up, as you mentioned?
Yeah, he Brenton sort of said to me he was, you know, a bit restless in the barriers, and he said he just sort of, you know, made a, I think, a step back at the wrong time and was just probably half a length to a length slower out, because the intention was initially to sort of jump and probably roll forward and be sort of somewhere in the first two or three. But obviously when that didn't happen, Brenton took the option just to sort of ride him a little quieter. He was deep with cover. But, yeah, I thought he showed plenty of tenacity, particularly that last sort of furlong where he was probably entitled to sort of lie down a bit, but he's got a really great determination to win.
Yes, he was strong late, wasn't he? Two from two now, Michael. We're deep into the off-season, obviously, the new season around the corner.
Mm.
Big races coming up. What are the plans now for Excellent Proposal?
Yeah, look, probably just... I just want to see how he does over the next few days before we decide what we sort of immediately do with him. But, you know, we've got some options with him. He's obviously, we threw him in an entry in the Golden Rose. So, you know, whether that's aiming a little too high at this stage, we'll wait and see. But we'll probably just give him a bit of a freshen up and then, you know, aim him for a couple of the smaller races and possibly a race sort of longer term. Might be a race like the Carbine Club down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, I think giving the horse a trip away would probably do him some good too. So I think something along those lines would be something that we could potentially aim for at this stage. And then I'm sort of looking forward to seeing him once he has fully furnished, you know, seeing him as an autumn three-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Are you a bit of a masochist, Michael?
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, you're putting up with your brother again. You're carrying him again. Yeah. I see where the partnership's started up again. So, you know, that's some sort of weight to drag around.
I know. So I've got some fairly sore shoulders in Australia.
Can I just out of interest, Richard's contribution during the course of any given week? You know, I know he's good on the PR and mostly about himself, but do you get any sort of work out of him?
Yeah, look, jokes aside, he's one thing Richard's always had is a very good work ethic. Mm. And, you know, I know having done it myself, sort of commuting from this side of town out to Rose Hill every day is no bowl of cherries, and he does it and never complains. So, he's a worker. He's a talker, but he's a worker.
I tell you when he does complain, though, Michael, is when he's trying to get from Warwick Farm back into Skye on a Wednesday night for New Central. He's always blowing up. He's going to miss it. Michael,
I've told him he can always give that away, but he's too hungry for the money.
He says he hates it, but he loves it. I reckon deep down he actually loves it, mate. But overall, the system, obviously Richard takes care of the 20-odd horses that you have at Rose Hill. You take care of the 20-odd at Randwick. Is that is that system working for you as well?
Yeah, look, it's a very similar system to how we had things set up, you know, back in the day in Melbourne when we had an operation initially at the old Epsom racecourse and Flemington, and then eventually what became Caulfield and Flemington. And we always found that sort of two-site stable was quite good. At this stage, I tend to primarily sort of focus on the two-year-olds, and at this time of year I've got a sort of stable full of yearlings at the moment. That horse yesterday is sort of one of only a handful of sort of race fit horses at Randwick for us at the moment, but I've always enjoyed sort of mucking around with the yearlings and two-year-olds, so we'll probably keep that system going for a good while yet. And I think conversely Richard quite enjoys, you know, some of those older, trickier horses to muck around with. So, yeah, I think it's a good system and gives us both sort of a little bit of independence as well within the partnership. And it's taken a couple of months to get things sort of bedded down and get the systems going the way we want. But, no, I'm I'm very happy with how it's sort of starting to track along and looking forward for for the new season.
Well, it was the youngster yesterday, the two-year-old colt. Excellent win for Excellent Proposal. Really appreciate your time this morning as well, Michael.
No worries, guys.
Thanks. Thanks,
there
Michael.
He is, Michael Friedman, trainer of Excellent Proposal. So exciting times there, and it's good to see the partnership is working.
Friedman Brothers back.
Friedman Brothers.
Anthony's flying in Melbourne.
Santa Ana Lane, favourite.
Yeah.
For the Everest.
And Lee Friedman's got a couple of big chances in the Singapore Derby later today. So the Friedman brothers back in a big, big way.
There you go. Let's go to some of the SMS that are coming in here. And there's quite a few. If Mary is not under pressure, then he should be. He's been a failure as a head coach. The Dragons' results during his tenure are simply not good enough. If I looked up the definition of mediocre in the dictionary, it would read, coaches like McGregor plays like Smith. That's Don from Carlton. So he couldn't help himself, could he? Just get a little bit of a sledge in there, Don from Carlton.
Mm. Just on that, though, if you're in that St George team environment and you've got one of your key players and a long-term player like a Jamie DeBellin going through what he's going through.
Jack, yep.
That must have an impact on the playing group, wouldn't it, Jimmy?
Well, that's what's...
But I'm asking you as an ex-player, if that was... Just say that situation, if you were involved in that situation, it must have an impact on the playing group.
Well, I've got to say it's a unique situation because it's never been the case, certainly
in my time.
So it's just one of those things where, you've had different players there. For example, when Craig Salvatore was suspended after headbutting Brett Boyd at Penrith Park in 1992, it cost us really making the semi-finals. He was suspended for 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. He turned up at training the next day and Jack Gibson said, "Get out of here.
Really?
We don't want you here. Get out."
Jeez, the impact he had on the team.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, he was the captain. He was the one that was supposed to show the discipline, and he didn't. So Jack said, "Get out. We don't want you."
Did he welcome him back at any stage in that 5-week period?
I'm pretty sure he did. Like, he said, get away for a week.
Yeah.
He came back after that week, put his head down, trained hard, and came back and played really well to finish 92 season. And we just missed the semi-finals because we had no Craig Salvatore for a 5-week period, so it cost us games. But that was his response: get out, go away, because you're a bad influence on the team. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to callers there. Jordan's on the line. G'day, Jordan.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Morning,
really
Jordan.
Well, mate.
Good, good. I just wanted to touch on Sir Elton there.
Mm-hmm.
Just, did you reckon too much weight on the back after a heavy run?
Yeah, look, it was interesting, Jordan, after the race. Huey Bowman and Adam Duggan, the jockey and trainer, were sort of scratching their heads a little. There's a bit of a theory that maybe that heavy track run two starts back might have taken a touch more out of the horse than they thought, and it's hard to sort of gauge that when you've got a rock-hard fit horse who's working well and eating well on the track until you put him under race day pressure. And
The six, I mean, it's a quality horse coming up against it. It was hard not to back the six in the race. Sir Elton at such a short price. You know, with the 60 kilos coming up against something with 56.5 on its back, it's hard not to take that at 330 odds, you know?
Yeah, and even a claiming apprentice, I don't think it would have made much of a difference, wouldn't it? Would it, Jordan? Because the filly was just too good, wasn't she?
Yeah, there you go. Good on you, Jordan. Appreciate that call. This comes in from eagle-eyed Phil. Willie Pike's Australian record was missed by the race replays as well.
Good point. I did put it in the paper this morning, though,
eagle-eyed
Phil.
You did put it in the paper, yeah. So there you go.
He actually missed. He had his first four favourites, three odds on. One of them was $1.10, all got rolled.
The $1.10?
Got rolled. Finally got through on a horse called Zatavite, by memory. Zaratite, finally broke that record. Now, I mentioned earlier, Jim, that Theodore Nugent had his first ride at famous Royal Randwick yesterday. Walked away with a winner, and he's been good enough to join us. I think he's on the way to Wangaratta this afternoon.
How easy Sydney racing, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Theodore Nugent on the line. Theodore, good morning, and thanks for joining us. And, well, significant moment in your career yesterday to win for Kieran and David on Dr. Drill. Can you take us through the race, Theodore?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, pleasure. It was our first ride at Randwick for the first winner, so it was pretty special.
What about the change when Tory Joy didn't get out of the stalls and then I guess all your plans go up in the air, Theodore? How do you make adjustments on the run? Clearly pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. For the first maybe 5 or 6 tries, I had my neck turned around trying to look for this obvious leader and nowhere to be seen until I watched the replay back in the rooms, and it had literally stood in the stalls and come out. So we then turned around and we saw Rachel King take up the lead, which was perfect, and went forward for the first furlong. And I was happy to let her take up the lead and just get a cozy run sitting outside her and put them to bed quite easy.
Mm. An important part of the race, Theodore, coming to the home turn, you were telling the media afterwards that you wanted to basically put the foot down on Dr. Drill. You knew he's only a little horse carrying a big weight. You didn't want the race to turn into a sit sprint. You wanted to make it a bit more of a staying test. That was probably the vital part of the race, about the 600-metre mark.
Yeah, definitely right. Look, probably coming towards the 800 and the 600, we were going to throw the brakes on a bit. And with my horse's big weight, I think he got in with 60, 61 with my claim and everything like that. So the last thing we wanted was a sit and sprint, and jumped out of the stalls. And we actually made it quite a true staying race. We reeled off some nice sectionals. I think we ran 12s a lot of the way. And from about the 400, 500 on, we just let him roll through his gears, and he was very strong, mate.
Hey, Theodore, give us a bit of background on yourself. First time we've spoken to you on the program. How did you get into racing? Is it a family trait?
Yeah, I got into racing. So I basically grew up with it. My old man used to train down in Warrnambool in Victoria, and he had a few jumpers knocking around. So all through school and everything, just been brought up with horses, and I was fortunate enough to go over to Ireland and basically learn how to ride over there for a year, and I was in the apprentice academy over there, and that was great. I learned all the basics of riding, and then spent a year over there, and then come back to Melbourne. I've been with Kieran for about 3 years now, and I've just been race riding for, I reckon, 15 months so far, and it's been a stellar season.
Yeah, so far you were in line to potentially win the Victorian Apprentices Premiership this year. Whilst you're away, yes, up in Sydney, Michael Poy, who's your main rival, did ride a winner at Flemington. You're on the road, I think, to Wangaratta today, Theodore, hopefully to ride a couple more winners and open up that break in the Premiership race.
And that's it. I'm still five in front of Mickey Poy, and hopefully we can hold off that lead on him. And there's only, I think, maybe just over a week, about 12 days left of the season. And with a full book today at Wangaratta, hopefully we can nab one or two and keep that lead still strong.
So where are you at the moment? You're on the way to Wangaratta?
I'm just driving over the Balti Bridge.
Oh, you're back in Melbourne. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there. You should be there on time. No problem, Peter. Well done. Hey, mate, thanks for the chat. Congratulations on the win yesterday. How easy is Royal Randwick? And we look forward to having a chat in the future.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Theodore.
Theodore Nugent. What a good...
Yeah, speaks well, doesn't he?
Speaks very well. We wish him all the best for that. I was trying to look up, Ray, and you might know this off the top of your head. I was trying to look up who have been some of the great jockeys in history who have won the premiership for the apprentices in Victorian racing. I'd imagine that...
Darren Gauchy comes to mind. He won three senior men's premierships in Melbourne while still an apprentice.
So he did a Mal Johnson.
He did a Mal Johnson, yeah.
So there you go. All right. But anyway, this is could be a rising star of racing.
Well, he did a great job yesterday, spoke very well, and at 21, a mature apprentice, but he did it differently to Robbie Dolan. He went to Ireland to learn how to ride. Robbie Dolan came to Australia, basically, to learn how to ride, and both on their way to apprentices premierships this season.
For the first time this morning, we say good morning to Tanya, who will be singing her way through the scratchings around Australia. Morning, Tanya.
Not in this lifetime. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Narrandera. It's Narrandera Cup Day. Coffs Harbour, we have Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Port Augusta in South Australia. Let's start with Narrandera, where the weather is fine, the track a good four, the rail is true, and there are 25 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1, Backwater Trader, and 12, The Goose, 1 and 12. Race 2, number 13, Hasty Minx, 13. Out of the third, number 8, Neanderthal, 13, Jailbird JJ, 15, Trapper Tom, and 16, Molly Will, 8, 13, 15 and 16. Race 4, number 7, Polar Star, 8, Allura, 10, Salty Kisses and 16, Whiskey Business, 7, 8, 10 and 16. Race 5, number 12, Biding Time, 14, Tyson Returns, 15, Zadaba and 16, Smart Al, 12, 14, 15, 16. Race 6, number 1, Gold Touch, 14, Selenora, 15, Hersa Govka, and 16 is anyone there? 1, 14, 15 and 16. Race 7 is clear. Race 8, The Cup. Number 7, Marcello and 12, Romance Can Costa. 7 and 12 from race 8. And race 9, number 2, Celeritate Regem. 8, Run Like a Rebel. 14, Only Leone and 15, Stafford. 2, 8, 14 and 15 from race 9 at Narrandera. Coffs Harbour, the weather is fine, the track is soft, 5. The rail is out 2 metres from the winning post to the 1,000, 5 metres from the 1,000 to the 350 through the remainder, and there are 17 scratchings. Race 1, take out 3, Back House Frilly, and 5, Fashion Icon, 3 and 5. Race 2, number 4, De Power, number 4. Out of the third, number 10, My Mate Mitch, 12, Temptations, and 16, Dramallo, 10, 12, and 16. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 1, Powerline, 10, Let's Rebel, 15, Typhoon Bonnie, and 16, San Marco. 1, 10, 15, and 16. Race 6, number 11, Golly Miss Solly, and 16, Starfest, 11 and 16. And race 7, number 2, Miss Powerbell, 6, Annie Ethel, 7, Same Again, 11, Charging Clear, and 15, Laura's Star. 2, 6, 7, 11, and 15 from race 7 at Coffs Harbour. And the Sunshine Coast, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is out 9 metres from the 1,200 to the 400, 7 metres the remainder, penetrometer 6.46 and just 13 scratchings. The first 3 races are clear. Start at race 4, take out 8, Lake Hillier, number 8. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 2, Clear the Bill. 3, Fiorente Star. 8, Sugar Zone. And 16, Lady Appleton. 2, 3, 8 and 16. Race 7, number 8, Lefka's Island. And 9, Alfie Jr. 8 and 9. Race 8, number 2, Elemente. 4, Velites. And 10, Brands Hatch. 2, 4 and 10. And race 9, take out 7, Spirit of Cherokee. 9, Kitty D'Amour. And 11, Villeneuve Lady. 7, 9 and 11 from race 9 at the Sunny Coast.
Thanks, Tan. Narrandera Cup Day at Narrandera. Race 3, number 1, Quacky Jack. Into race 4, number 2, Logan River. Both look very hard to beat, James. And Coffs Harbour today, early on the program, race 2, number 8, Julianne's Wish. Into race 3, number 6, Peachy's Dream.
Well done, Raymond. We will get those tips out on social media as well. We've got the news chasing us right now. After the news, we'll have a chat with Zorba, Wayne Hawks, Jared Daffy, and Luke Burgess, who makes his boxing debut.
Sarah Womby, a third body has been found on a Canadian highway, but while authorities are looking at all of the leads, they're not linking the death to the mysterious shooting murders of an Australian tourist and his American girlfriend. The body of a man was found yesterday near a burning pickup truck on Highway 37 in northern British Columbia. 23-year-old Lucas Fowler from Sydney and 24-year-old China Dees were found dead on Monday on the side of the Alaska Highway after their van broke down. Two New South Wales homicide detectives have travelled to Canada to help as liaisons. Babies living with cystic fibrosis will soon get access to cheaper medicines in a move the federal government says could save their families hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says that from August, Kalydeco will be listed on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme for babies aged 12 to 24 months. Mr. Hunt has told the ABC it will help sick children breathe easier and improve their quality of life.
It would otherwise cost $300,000 a year, and now will be available for as little as $6.50 a script. It's about saving lives and protecting lives and giving access to the chance literally to breathe properly for beautiful young infants.
A high-visibility police operation at Splendour in the Grass will spend a third day targeting illegal drug use and supply, a day after a New South Wales coroner attended to observe the music festival. Deputy State Coroner Harriet Graham, who is overseeing the inquest into 6 recent drug-related deaths at New South Wales music festivals, yesterday toured the festival near Byron Bay in the state's north. Ms. Graham also watched a demonstration by David Caldicott, an emergency medicine specialist and the leader of Australia's
Australia's only sanctioned pill testing trials on how drug checking works. New South Wales does not currently permit testing of illicit drugs at music festivals. A pedestrian has suffered serious injuries after being hit by a car in Adelaide. The man in his 80s was struck by a vehicle just after 6 last night in Holden Hill. The man was taken to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. The female driver was treated for shock. Overseas, Iran says it seized a British oil tanker after a collision, but the UK has called the move a hostile act as tensions between Tehran and the West escalate. Iran's Revolutionary Guards posted a video online showing speedboats pulling up alongside the Stena Impero tanker, its name clearly visible. Troops wearing ski masks and carrying machine guns rappelled to its deck from a helicopter, the same tactics used by the British Royal Marines to seize an Iranian tanker off the coast of Gibraltar 2 weeks ago. Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt says he had expressed extreme disappointment by phone to his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Javid Zarif. Mr. Hunt says he hopes there'll be an easing of tensions.
Our priority continues to be to find a way to de-escalate the situation. That's why I reached out to the Iranian foreign minister. That's why due process in Gibraltar continues.
And thousands of people have attended a funeral service today in Bosnia for 86 Muslims who were slain by Serbs in one of the worst atrocities of the country's 1992 to 95 war. This is Air News. Fremantle have kept their AFL finals hopes alive after scoring two behinds in the dying minutes to snatch a one-point victory over Sydney at Optus Stadium. In a tense final minute, the Swans had several half chances to score, but each time their kick was either smothered, blocked or didn't make the distance. The score, 7-10-52 to 7-9-51. There were also wins to the Lions, Giants, Blues and Tigers. Three tries in the last 10 minutes has helped to deliver South Sydney a 30-18 NRL win over North Queensland in Townsville. The visitors were behind for most of the second half, but an inspired finale by representative forward Cam Murray sealed the result for the Rabbitohs. Coach Wayne Bennett says it was a strong end to the match.
I just think our guys up the end, the interchange guys came back out, they were good. Everyone else lifted the tempo of the game. Defensively, we were solid. Started to carry the ball better and control it better, and all of a sudden, it just opened up.
Earlier, Canberra edged out the Tigers 20-12 and Sydney smashed Newcastle 48-10. The Wallabies have lost 35-17 to the Springboks at the Rugby Championship. The Diamonds are through to the final of the Netball World Cup final after defeating South Africa 55-53. They'll take on New Zealand, who beat England 47-45. And Julian Alaphilippe has retained the yellow Tour de France leader's jersey. Australian Independent Radio News.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire. 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Car. Trainer Andy Gath says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution. Perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster. Standing at Yirrabee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yirrabee.com.au.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
On Sky Sports Radio, the Traffic Report.
Heavy traffic approaching the international airport from both directions, but Marsh Street is the real struggle. And watch the changes to the M4 in Homebush and Haberfield with the new tunnels that opened last week. In St Mary's, crews are replacing a pole on Mamre Road after an overnight smash. They've blocked the left lane northbound between Wilson and John Streets. Road closures and speed limit reductions in Sutherland, Gymea, Kirrawee and Cronulla for the Sutherland to Surf Fun Run. It's well signposted. Everything will be back open by 6:30. Swap your car seat for a plane seat. Fly direct to spectacular Cable Beach in WA and enjoy Cable Beach Club for 20% off for a limited broom time. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
Okay, we'll zip around the country with today's weather forecast. We'll start in Brisbane, partly cloudy, top of 23 degrees today in Brisbane. Sydney, what a day coming up this afternoon, top of 22 degrees, all sunshine in Sydney. Canberra, yeah, pretty cool, top of 15 degrees, though, after a cold start down there of just 1 degree. Melbourne, a shower or two, 15 degrees. Hobart, similarly, shower or two, 14. Adelaide, also a bit cool, a shower or two, about 15 degrees. Perth, raining, 19 degrees. Love some of that rain over in the eastern states. And Darwin, as always, James, very sunny, top of 31.
But here we go again, Manly in power, Parra's well ahead, but the gap starts to narrow. Manly's coming back, seems like they're built out of steel. How do you feel? You pump them, bump them, pick them up and dump them. Manly's coming back. Keep on coming. Just goes to show what an eagle can do to an ear. How do you feel? Manly's coming back. A good trial to it. Up goes the bomb. Too bad they blew it. The eagle see a chance and latch on to it.
Just a motion comes sliding in, and all the crowd begins to sing.
Not a sponsor of ours, so let's make sure we get down. I feel like a wingman, quite obviously. Wingman Beer and Winks Books up for grabs today to the best contribution. We're looking for the greatest games of all time on the back of the Cricket World Cup final and the Wimbledon final that was played. Seems an age ago, Raymond. And it is a long time ago, really. It's a long time in sport these days when everything happens instantaneously. But I reckon there were 20 to 25 TUI's ads that were produced during the course of those 1980s, and I reckon I could sing part thereof of every single
just
one
about,
of them.
Yeah. You might be old enough to remember there was one prior to his ads, KB. Yeah. It was a KB ad. We had the World 18 Footy Championships in Sydney.
Right.
Dave, in the mid-70s, and it became a KB ad.
Is that right?
I'm trying to think of it now.
What, sailing on the harbour?
Yeah. 18 Footy won the World Championship. It'll come to me now anyway, but that sort of started that whole... Anyway, move on. James
very
says, James had enough of that.
Zorba up very shortly. He might have featured in that during the course of his time, a beer ad. Wayne Hawks will be on. Jared Daffy, I'll tell you what, Jared Daffy would feature in a beer ad comfortably, wouldn't he?
Oh, we're all partial to a quiet ale or two from time to time, James.
Yeah, but, anyway, move on. Luke Burgess will be having no beer in the lead up to his professional boxing debut. He's going to do that next Saturday. We'll have a chat to him, and we're looking forward to seeing that in action at Luna Park next Saturday night. 1353 53 is the open line number, of course, too, when we're looking for the great games in history. The great games. Surely a cricket-tied test has got to get a Guernsey in there.
1960-61 or the one in Madras?
Oh, I reckon
86.
The Brisbane one.
Yeah, 60-61, Richie Beno. Wesley Hall bowling that last over.
Who hit the stumps, right?
Slasher Mackay was batting, wasn't he?
Yeah, but who hit the stumps?
Yeah.
West Indian
Flanagan,
fieldsman.
No. Keep going, Joe Solomon.
Well done, Roman. Yeah. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get to Zorb now because I know he'll have a fair bit to say. There's lots going on and there's a big match down at Lotto Land today, as we just heard. It's Manly up against Parra. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Yeah.
Morning,
Pete. Cracker of a day. It should be good. There's no excuses for the Manly fans not to turn up today. Their side going really well. Our rivals, Parramatta, who really have the wood on Manly. 7 hours last eight, Parra have won against Manly. So, trying to turn it around today. Tommy Turbo hasn't played in a losing game this year in Origin or for Manly. So, maybe he's going to be the lucky charm today. But it could be a cracker of a game.
Why aren't Manly fans turning up?
Well, I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. Poor last couple of seasons. They're used to success and a ground where you've really got to love your side to go because it's right out of years gone by. But no excuses today, so let's hope they turn up.
Yeah, beautiful sunny afternoon in Sydney coming up, and best luck there with the Seagulls. Hey, Zorb, we'll go back to Friday night. Penrith on a roll at the moment. That's probably the best they've played all season, but they'll need to continue that form and probably go to another level because the Raiders are... they're flying along as well. That's a big clash next week.
Yeah, it's a cracker of a clash next week, but I think they're up for it. 8 wins in a row in the NRL is a mighty achievement. The Panthers can make a real statement for a home afternoon blockbuster against Canberra, as you said, next Sunday. Ivan Cleary's made some changes to his side in the middle. If you remember, in the first couple of weeks, I thought their problem was around the dummy half. And they've got two young running hookers now in Kenny and Egan to provide some variety around the play the ball. Out wide, Brent Naden and Brian Tua they've played 12 games between them, scored 14 tries, two each in the 40-18 win over the Dragons on Friday night. And Tua, he's a diver. He just doesn't want to put the ball down. He wants to dive for everything.
Spectacular, didn't it?
Hate to watch. It is fantastic. Hey, let's stay with Friday night. The Sharks 1-point losers against the Warriors. Sean Johnson, we had a caller, Rod from Nowra. He's a big Sharks man. He says, look, we need to cut Sean a bit of slack. Oh, mate, you pay a bloke that amount of money with that amount of experience. When the game's on the line, you need them wanting the ball. I don't think we see that from Sean Zorb.
Well, he's only played 11 games. He scored 3 tries, kicked 18 goals, 50 points for him. That's paltry to his reputation, for the money that you said he's on. They need more. But not just from him. Pardon me. The Sharks are on a lifeline. 5 losses in a row.
Yeah.
They can't ice close games. That's his job. And also the job of Townsend, his co-half. In the last 5 games, they've lost 3 by 2 points, 1 by 1 point. And as I said, the halves are not icing the games. I can't recall so many big-name players out of form at one club. Aaron Woods, for one, is nowhere near the origin prop that he was. His form is terrible.
Yeah.
I know he's come back from a long injury, but Woodsy is not the forward he was. Dugan's awful. Johnson, as you said, average. Moylan, ordinary. Gallen, struggling. The list goes on. And with a rookie coach, I don't know how they're going to get out of it. They look to me as though they're spiralling out. The Sharks, Newcastle, West Tigers, Dragons, they're all out of form at the wrong end of the season.
You
mentioned the Knights there, Zorb, losing 48-10 to the Roosters yesterday. They're still in the eight, only by 1 point, but what's happened to the Knights there?
Oh, I think they're just finding the pressure. They're not used to winning at this time of the year. They've had players in Origin. They didn't expect to be in Origin. And I think they're showing it. And, they've lost to the Bulldogs and lost to the Roosters. Mm. They play the West Tigers, then the Seagulls, then the Eels, the Cowboys. They've got a fairly good run home, but they'll need to win a couple of games shortly.
Mm. Mark Coyne has been in the news a lot. And it's interesting that Roy Masters wrote an article yesterday that I thought was fascinating, given his connection with the Dragons, and obviously he would know Mark pretty well. The questions need to be asked. Do you think Mark Coyne should be thrown off the independent commission?
Well, not on what we've heard. I mean, he hasn't assaulted anybody. He's verbally abused a cab driver, which I would imagine a good percentage of our listeners have done at various stages of their lives, and nothing's been done about it. And I find it, pardon me again, overseas, I mean, I've been in a situation where I know I was being led down a garden path by a cab driver. It was in Germany. I told my wife to get out of the car and to go to the foyer straight away and to get Arthur Beeson, about another 8 blokes that I was travelling with, to come down to the cab because I wasn't going to be ripped off. That could easily have been me. And Coyne is an impeccable record as a player, official, citizen, and father. Surely an alcohol-induced verbal outburst against a taxi driver in Singapore, where the rules are pretty strict, is hardly a hanging offence.
Should he have alerted the commission earlier to what had happened?
No, I don't know. I don't know whether he should have or not. I mean, it's happened while he's been out of the country.
Yeah.
He's gone through the protocol there. And whatever the sentence was in terms of the local authorities, he's adhered to. But the calls for his head have been intensifying all week. I hope the commission shows some compassion for a guy that hasn't put a foot out of place as a player, as an official, and as a high profile businessman. Give him a go.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Zorb. He's made a mistake, and he owned up to it too straight away. And in that regard, when he met the media and spoke quite openly about it, so we'll see what happens. Back to the Roosters, Zorb. They were very, very good again, as we mentioned earlier, against the Knights yesterday. Jimmy and I were talking about the injury again, unfortunately, to Jake Friend, but the Roosters, they're right on track now.
Well, they've been nowhere their best in 2019. But look out for a good, strong run home to the finals by the Premiers. They play only two top sides in an easy run home. Trent Robinson is a thinker and a brilliant coach. His record says it all.
Yep.
He'll have them cherry ripe. I think it's a Melbourne Cup preparation. You don't want your side going gung-ho at the moment. You need to let them down a little bit. Look at South winning at the back end of games, tight ones, but nowhere near their best. That's the old fella Wayne Bennett. He's been there and done it. Look for those sort of preparations for the finals, and I reckon they're a good chance for a back-to-back title campaign. Okay, Jake Friend's out with an arm injury. I think the experiment with Radley has gone okay, but I think they need a specialist hooker in there. I thought Radley last night was somewhere near his best again. I'd bring in Sam Verrills, who's a specialist hooker,
yep.
Young kid, knows his way around the field pretty well, and I think he can get the job done until Friend comes back. They were 12-10 in front and then went to 48-10 in the last 30 minutes. Tedesco carried on his origin form. Just brilliant performance by him again.
Brisbane Watch, $2.30 now to make the top eight.
I wouldn't be backing them.
Oh.
I wouldn't be backing them in. I think they're overrated. They're okay at home. Take them away from home, they struggle to win. They've got a fairly easy draw, but are they? Well, they've had the Warriors Bulldogs in a row, and they've drawn one of those games. 1-1. They play the Titans. They'll win that. They play the Storm. They'll get beaten there. They play the Cowboys away. They could get beaten there. They play the Panthers at home. They could get beaten there. They play the Rabbitohs at home. They could get beaten there. They play the Eels at home. They could get beaten there. And they finish up with a dog breakfast, the Bulldogs. So they're not going to get that.
What do you think now, Jim?
Mate, anyone can get beaten anywhere. But anyway.
Of course they can. You've got to have an opinion. I mean, what gives you the confidence to see that side? With Darius Boyd at 5'8", no way, Curl.
How long are they going to have Darius? I just wonder what. When you look at tape, and whether you do it as a team, as you're a coach, you're Anthony Seibold, you're looking at the tape, and you're looking at the output that you're getting from Darius Boyd. To be honest, I'm amazed he's in the side every week.
Well, I am too. And they 28-6 against the Bulldogs. Well, that's like beating your mother-in-law in an arm wrestle. And they played okay, but I'm not convinced. I don't think Andrew McCulloch is the nine to lead them around. I mean, if you look at the sharp teams in the comp, they've got running dummy halves. And whenever Seguiaro comes on, they
go up another
level. Whenever Turpin is in hooker, they seem to be okay. But there's this obsession with McCulloch, who's been a real warhorse for the club. I wouldn't have him in the side. And I don't think he's game enough to drop him.
Fair enough. Hey, Saul, what about your Zapper today, mate?
My Zapper today is, well, it's the Storm 13-plus against the Titans, talking about beating him mother-in-law in an arm wrestle. So that's what's going to happen there. Titans have been terribly disappointing. I don't know whether or not they've done the right thing in sacking the coach so close to the end of the season. But there seems to be some massive issues between him and some of the star players there. Well, my answer to that is that players get well paid to play the game, but they don't run the club. Whenever you have players running the club, you've got problems, and that's what the Titans seem to have. Manly against Parramatta, I think Manly 1-12 today, so I'm going Storm 13+, Manly 1-12, and I'm hearing that maybe we might see a change, late change to Manly. I understand young Cade Custer's had problems overcoming head injuries, and that he may be out today. If he's out, look for Dylan Walker to go to 5-8. And then we'll have Dylan versus Dylan, up against Dylan Brown, the Parramatta 5-8. And perhaps the Ed Sheeran lookalike, Brad Parker, will come into the centre.
I'll tell you what, if you could sing like Ed, you'd be going all right. I actually think Brad Parker has played good footy this year in the times that he's been on there. I think he's probably surprised a few people.
It would surprise me.
Yeah, I know. You weren't his biggest fan, but I reckon he's played all right this year.
Can I give a rap to Cameron Murray?
Oh, absolutely.
It seems he's improved with Origin. Like,
yes.
Souths were down.
Yes.
They were dead last night behind 18-12, playing terribly against the Cowboys in Townsville. And in 7 minutes, inspired by Murray, they scored 3 converted tries. Murray scored one, set up another to snatch a win from a gallant Cowboys who are now gone for the final. But he carried that side to victory last night. And what about Ethan Lowe? Went up there.
Yeah.
The club that didn't want him last year had him playing in the second-tier competition. He scored the first 2 tries for South Sydney last night, who are getting wins without the Burgess boys, but you can see that they're struggling.
And starred for Queensland in the Origin, of course. And Cameron Murray, the pass he threw to Tevita Totola, it reminded me of the Greg Dowling catch off the way he was able to, full stride, get down so low and pick it up. Hey, we've just got an SMS that's come in here. Can't Zorba stand up for himself? He needs backup against a German taxi driver. No name on it.
Mate, I needed some help. He was an angry-looking fella. And I'd just been to Dachau the day before, so I wasn't feeling well.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Good on you, Zorb. I might see you down at Brookie today.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Should be good down there, and you enjoy real fresh air, not like you get in the suburbs.
Yeah, right. And the Perrier water that falls from the sky.
Oh
thank you. So good on you, Zorb. Thank you.
Yeah,
13-53-53. Here's a classic game.
Yes, I'm going to read it out. Go
Borg v.
Yeah.
McEnroe, 5-set thriller. Borg's 5th straight Wimbledon victory in a row.
Did you see the movie? The Borg McEnroe?
No, I haven't seen it.
Really
it.
Good.
It's good.
Yeah, it was really good.
And this is another good nomination from Tiger Marty. The first Bledisloe Cup game at the Olympic Stadium. All Blacks up 20 points after 15 minutes. Wallabies square it up, and then Lomu scores in the corner at the end. The good old days when Australian rugby was competitive. That was a classic game of rugby. A brilliant game.
And this one. Boys, has the Panthers' resurgence coincided with Gus Gould's exit, or was that just a conspiracy theory like the alleged moon landing from Duncan?
When do we go to the moon? I'm looking forward. Of course,
the
created in
months?
Hollywood studio.
Next 12 months, they say.
Next 12 months, we'll go to the moon
and
for the first time.
Are you one of those conspiracy theorists, eh?
If we went 50 years ago, why aren't we going every week?
I don't know why, but the president's saying we're going again, then we're on to Mars after that.
Okay, fair.
Well, I don't know.
I think we get there sometimes on this program on a Sunday morning. But anyway, 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Wayne Hawkes.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales.
entries are now open for the 2020 Inglis Select Yearling Sale Series. In 2019, Inglis again proved itself the strongest auction house to sell yearlings through, achieving the highest clearance rate, average and gross for vendors. On the track, Inglis have had 88% more Group 1 winning graduates than their nearest Australian rival since the beginning of 2018. With world-class venues, Riverside Stables and Oaklands Junction, there's no better time to sell your yearling with Inglis. Visit inglis.com.au for more information and entry forms. Entries close August 2.
Looking for a way to add more fun and excitement to your next racing bet? Well, you need to try Tab's new Odds and Evens. Just choose whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens or splits, or you can spin the wheel for a suggested bet. Odds and Evens is available on all Australian racing, so whether it's horses, harness or greyhounds, take a spin on the first two place getters for a simple and fun way to bet. Tab, who are you backing? Available for New South Wales Tab customers only. See tab.com.au for full T's and C's. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers help 1-800-858-858.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and order pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit Toyota materialhandling.com.au.
They have numbers to burn if they can get it there. Hamilton! Hamilton ripped it out of the grasp of her support player and then dived over. That's a hat trick for the Aussie captain.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just getting a tweet in here from Sparty Lennon. It said, a fit James Pattinson has to be in the Ashes team. The Poms would prefer a severe... Okay, we can't go on with that. It's a big, snarling and scary. Most importantly, he swings the ball at pace.
At 150, yeah. And as Tom pointed out to me, Ray, the batsman is Curtis Patterson.
Patterson, yes.
And the bowler is James Pattinson.
There you go.
Sorry, Tom.
No, that's all right. Tom, it will not happen again. Let me assure you of that.
I'm tipping it will. Anyway.
Now, you've got some SMS there, Raymond?
Yeah, look, this is a good one. Remember the old days, boys, when at halftime they would have the kick for cash competition? Maybe we should do that down at Shark Park, and the winner gets a start in first grade for Cronulla. We couldn't get a kick in a karate fight at the moment. It's from Wilbur. They're frustrating. It's frustrating for the Sharks, aren't they? They've thrown away a couple of games with no goal kicking at all. This is a great one too, James. Eddie from Macquarie Fields. A great finale to a great match was the 1977 AMCO Cup final. Were you alive then?
Yes.
East versus West. With only 3 minutes to go, Russell Fairfax speed on to an Arthur Beetson pass. Shaw kicks over the head of the West fullback, regathers for a great try, scored midway between the goalposts and the corner posts. His own conversion attempt swung wide with West hanging on to win a 6-5.
There you go.
Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it on Vision. That's
and you've got to read out our good friend about the taxi driver.
Well, the same guy who said, look, can't Zorba stand up for himself, has then said in, maybe the German cab drivers were on the same program as their athletes. Do we have any German listeners? We did.
we did
until then.
Past tense, you reckon?
Brett from Richmond here. For heaven's sake, Zorba, leave Boyd and Chainsaw, that's Andrew McCulloch, in the Broncos team. As a Sydney sider, I hate Brisbane. I think the point Brett is making is that they probably shouldn't be in their side.
Exactly. This is an interesting one, James. The Dragons have lost their soul, and unfortunately, Mary has lost the dressing room. It's time for the club to go back to their previous successful formula and hire an experienced coach with a winning pedigree. I think as soon as Shane Flanagan is allowed to coach again, the Dragons should grab him. The critic.
Interesting how long the NRL will ask Shane Flanagan to sit on the sidelines. Former Dragons player.
I know, exactly. This is from Michelle from Dubbo. Jimmy, just wondering what your go-to song would be at karaoke. Michelle's imagining it might be a bit of AC/DC.
No, it's exclusively revealed this morning. It's Copacabana, Barry Manilow.
Extraordinary,
anyway,
I didn't tip you was a Barry Manilow fan, but anyway.
I tell you what, I'm just wondering what Gerard Daffy's go-to song would be from a karaoke.
I reckon it might be K-San.
Right. I reckon he might have a Barry White in him or something like
Barry
that.
Barry White. He's got the voice.
Let's find out. Hello, Jared.
Hello, boys.
Morning, Jared.
Actually, one thing you probably don't know, Jimmy, I was very, very good at the air guitar.
At the air guitar.
Don't they have those championships
they
there?
Do.
Yeah, no, I haven't got to that yet. I've been a bit busy, but and my signature song with the air guitar, you know this one, right? Turn Up Your Radio by Masters Apprentices.
Oh.
So I'm going back a few years.
Masters Apprentices, yeah, what a great Australian band. Yeah. Dennis Burgess.
I like their other song. What's it?
I've got a soft spot for KCN, though. Actually, I've been to a few weddings.
I love you. That's it, yeah.
Our kids have been involved in. Some of them have been their own. And that's always a popular song with the youngsters or younger people.
The KCN.
Yeah, they love it.
Right, okay.
They love Australian song.
Yeah. And Living Next Door to Alice. If you hear the lyrics, their version of the lyrics, you'll understand why. But they're two songs from back in the day that are always really popular with the younger generation.
All right, there we go. All right.
Hey, learn so many different things in this show.
Don't we?
Most of them
obscure and unnecessary.
Exactly.
But anyway.
Jimmy, this morning on Radio Tab, a wonderful thrill for the listeners between 6 and 6.45, This Racing Life, due to an enormous amount of requests, we replayed the segment between Tony Clements and Ray Thomas.
Right.
He's got a massive following in around the world, Ray, as we know. But
Tony Clements.
But several queries subsequent to that when we're going to do a special on Jimmy Smith.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know whether we could pad out the 45 minutes, but we can probably get a few.
Could be a 38-second vignette that maybe we could
You've had a very interesting life, James. Some of the stories... probably can't do them on air, but maybe a podcast might work.
Let's get to the NRL.
A podcast might work,
Jerry. The NRL today. We've got the Titans up against the Storm. Titans have got a new coach.
They have, and Melbourne Storm have got a depleted side. There's actually been pretty good support for the Titans today. They have $2.90 to win it. Melbourne Storm $1.42, and good interest in the plus 7.5. But the other game now, is the news out or not, because I was at the Trots last night, is... Blake Ferguson confirmed in or out?
No, out.
Out, okay.
Out.
I thought he may have been.
Yep.
They've been $1.55 on into $1.45 near Manly and $2.80 para. The line there, 6.5 points. So that would explain that move. And just a quick updated market to win the premiership.
Yes.
Roosters $3, Melbourne $3.50. Souths $6, Canberra into $11, Penrith into $17, Manly at $19, and $23 for Parramatta.
And three games in the AFL today, Jared, including that grudge match Geelong v Hawthorn.
And there's been money for Hawthorn. I suppose you have a look at the history between these two sides, Ray, and just because you're outsider doesn't mean that you can't win. They were $3.30 a couple of days ago. They're into $2.90. Geelong $1.42, a line there of 16.5 points. Melbourne are in Alice Springs, where they actually play quite well, and there's been money for them. They're at $2.70 to beat the West Coast $1.47, and the line there 14.5 points. Well, we know what's happened with Carlton and North Melbourne in the past several weeks now when they sacked their coach, and this is going to put the test to it today, though, isn't it, St Kilda? They were $3.40 before Alan Richardson left the building. They're into $2.75 now, and the Bulldogs $1.45, and that line 15.5 points. And again, a couple of changes to the flag on the back of that big win by Greater Western Sydney over Collingwood. Geelong $3.75, Richmond, they're the sleeping dog. They're at $5, West Coast $5, Collingwood $6, Brisbane $11, and GWS into $13 now, Essendon $17 as well.
Exactly. Hey, Judy, our talk topic is great games or phenomenal events, etc., on the back of the World Cup final last Sunday. Jimmy mentioned the 89 grand final between the Raiders and the Balmain Tigers. The same year, there was that extraordinary AFL grand final between Geelong and Hawthorn, one of the all-time great games, Jared.
Every year, it's a great final in the AFL. I didn't even know rugby league existed in 1989, to tell you the truth. But, there's been some great memories listening to the show there this morning. And, every week now there's an epic finish. There was a couple in the AFL even last night. I suppose you remember the big ones. But you didn't really have to open up the wound of last Sunday night, Ray, because I back New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel violated.
No, it's just... We were saying earlier, like...
Not for the first time.
No, not on the punt.
And of course I was referring to on the punt.
No, they were very unlucky, New Zealand. The only team ever to, as we mentioned earlier, Jared, to be bowled out chasing and still win. It doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, that doesn't help my kick either.
No, exactly, yeah.
No.
And of course we won't mention Wimbledon, but Roger was ready to win there, 8-7, 40-15. But anyway.
He was. He's like a fine wine, isn't he? Just keeps going around, and there was no reason why he couldn't go there and win it again next year. There's not much between those top two or three players, is there? And there's no real big no names coming through the ranks either. That's the thing that falls in their favour.
No, exactly.
Shane Lowry, surprise leader, but by four shots in the Open.
Well, you'd think under normal circumstances, Jimmy, that should be a big enough lead to win anything, really, given that Shane Lowry, he's a quality player. He's an Irishman. He's playing in his own backyard. But, of course, we've all seen the vision of that course, and it's tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's $1.60 now. Tommy Fleetwood's not far behind. He's four behind at $4. Then a bit of a gap to Brooks Koepka at 10. Justin Rose, 17. They're both 9 under, so they're 7 behind. JB Holmes is just ahead of them, but he's still the $34 pop. But interesting looking at what we've done this morning. There's no takers at the 160, but Brooks Koepka, they think he can do it. There's money for him at the $10.
And in the World Cup netball, Australia are through 55-53 winners over South Africa, and again meet New Zealand after beating them by 1 point in that thrill a couple of days ago. Jared?
Yeah, well, that final's on tonight, is it?
Tonight, they
played the World Cup in about 12 days.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, we haven't got that one open yet. It'll be open in the next hour, so it's going to be interesting to see what the boys put up, because New Zealand were 450 outsiders the other night, or getting 9.5 point start. Well, it can't be anything like that, but it's good to have that rivalry back, because the Silver Ferns have been on the downslide now for some 3 or 4 years. I think most expected England to get through to that final tonight, and of course they beat us in the Commonwealth Games by 1 goal. So the old rivalry is revived tonight. That market will be up soon. Australia will be favourites, but you'd think on what we saw a couple of nights ago, they're certainly not unbeatable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's going to... I'll tell you what, Jared, well done.
Right, oh, yeah. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, it was good. Gary Ablett kicked 9 goals in that grand final, didn't he?
He got best on ground. Got best on ground. Hawthorn won by 6 points, and Dermot Brereton broke his ribs in the first bouncer.
Yeah.
What about Carlton, right?
Yeah, they want a bit of... Give David Teague the job, Jared.
Well, why not?
I can't work it out.
Well, hang on. Chris Judd's got to work out which media platform that he makes that announcement.
I don't know whether Chris Judd will be opening his mouth on those topics ever again.
No.
It's silly.
Understandable. Good on you, Jared.
See you, lads.
See you, Jared. Jared Daffy there from TAB, and we're getting all sorts of nominations in. For what we're saying here, we get no name on this one. What about the farewell 20-all draw at Cumberland Oval, Para v Manly? What a rugby league exhibition that was. That's from Barnaby. And this one, oh dear, fancy Jimmy saying Richard praises himself. This is Richard Friedman. Maybe Jimmy should listen to himself, as he thinks he's the best at everything. And now I heard him say I'll be at Brookvale Oval today, and that sure puts a dampener on my plans. Always Brookvale Oval, not Lutterland. No name on that one. So there we are. I'm turning people away from Brookvale there.
Any truth? This is from your good friend Paul from Huskisson. Ray, yeah. I heard you ask Jimmy what his go-to song is for karaoke. Well, I've seen Jimmy perform at a karaoke night, and I can tell you his go-to song is Que Sera Sera, a Doris Day hit. He goes right off. Is that right?
Of course it's not right, Paul. One thing about Paul from Huskisson, he's never let the truth get in the way of a good story, a bad story or otherwise. So there we go. Thank you, Paul, for that one. 1353 53 is the Opaline number. In fact, that's the number you've got to call for the... No, we're not doing the events here. Not yet. Yeah. Okay.
It's in the last hour today.
Is it? Right. Yeah. I'm a little upset because you've got a mini break on me today. Right.
It's been thrown.
Right.
9:30.
So what we're going to do is go to a break.
Yeah.
At the other end of the break, someone will be on the end
Wayne
of the phone.
Hooks.
And then we'll go from there.
Correct.
Does your small business need new equipment, another renovation, a little more stock, or even some extra staff? A business loan could help. Look no further than OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group are trusted by over 80,000 small businesses worldwide and have already lent over $10 billion US globally. So for a loan to grow your business with money in your account as fast as the next business day, visit ondeck.com.au now. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Entries are now open for the 2020 Inglis Select Yearling Sale Series. In 2019, Inglis again proved itself the strongest auction house to sell yearlings through, achieving the highest clearance rate, average and gross for vendors. On the track, Inglis have had 88% more Group 1 winning graduates than their nearest Australian rival since the beginning of 2018. With world-class venues, Riverside Stables and Oaklands Junction, there's no better time to sell your yearling with Inglis. Visit inglis.com.au for more information and entry forms. Entries close August 2.
Hey, guys. Look, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm leaving the flat. You're like family to me, and if I could stay here longer, believe me, I would, man. I know it's sudden, but I cannot miss my bus.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
If I told you one action could save the world, would you believe me? By planting a single tree, you can help cool the climate, reduce air pollution, provide homes for native wildlife, and make your community a better place to live. So be part of something big by doing something small. Join volunteers across Australia and get your hands dirty this July 28 for Planet Ark's National Tree Day. To find out more, visit treeday.planetark.org.
Fighter Silvera prioritising Hector Pascal, but Silvera sprints hard and fast. Grabs a lead and Silvera. Silvera defeats Araja, flashing for the second. Third Magna Fighter followed by Hector Pascal.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
You like that, Jim, didn't you?
Hector Pascal. How good's that?
That was Silvera winning the Tat Smile at Eagle Farm yesterday. We heard earlier in our race replay, Sylvia's mother was highly impressed with winning up the straight at Flemington. And what was so extraordinary about it is Team Hawk sent her down early in the week, sight unseen up the straight, and she was still too good. And Wayne Hawks has been good enough to join us on the line. Wayne, good morning. And, well, I think it's fair to say you've got a pretty talented filly there in Sylvia's mother, Wayne.
Yeah, well... good morning, Ray. Everyone in Sydney saw her, but the Melbourne people got to see her for the first time yesterday. And she, for a restricted horse, isn't she a spruced horse that punters have loved to punt on? It was Thursday morning, the Herald Sun here. They did your trick up there 3 weeks ago when they backed her off the mat, and they did it again. So at least she had clear running and got the job done for the punters yesterday.
Was it always a plan, Melbourne, or did it come about on the back of that good trial that Ray mentioned?
It was always the plan. Look, if we'd never stayed in Melbourne, she wouldn't have come. But she only arrived actually Friday morning, so which is common for what we do. So she only got here Friday morning and raced Saturday. And look, that's what the interstate carnival people do, and they knock you off. But normally with our stable, they've always been to Melbourne. They've done education and things like that because we like to send them away when they're unraced. So when they do come back, like yesterday, they know where they're going. So... you know, we're just a little bit tougher for Sylvia, and you know that straight course. It's very unforgiving and it's very, very tough because it's there's an old saying, horses to courses, and down the straight is exactly the same in as far as you either love it or you don't. And even those horses that love it, when they're out of form, it's amazing how they can just bob up. And you think, geez, how did that win at 10-1? Then you look at track and distance and see, you know, 6 stars, 3 wins, 2 seconds.
Horses
to courses,
yeah. Yeah, would it made a difference if she had to go anti-clockwise and it wasn't up the straight? Would you give her a bit more preparation?
Oh, no, not really. Would it be the same?
Yeah.
Would have just done as per normal. So just it was down the straight. But I suppose the advantage now is that we all know that she can handle the straight racing, and next time, even when she runs down the straight, it's going to be a lot tougher than the race that she ran yesterday. It'll be some black type race somewhere.
I was going to ask, Wayne, given that she's passed that test yesterday, rising four-year-old mare, she's by Snitzel. I know she's still eligible for easier races, but the temptation must be to, I guess, try and find some black type for her sooner rather than later now.
Well, that's what we're going to do, Ray. Where, I don't know. You know, the Ori Stars in 3 weeks' time, but you're taking on the open company horses. You're still a three-year-old filly. You might as well make it as easy as you can and, you know, put yourself in the best company and your horses in the worst, I reckon, and build your momentum up that way. So you're not going to go through win, win, win. I mean, you know, wings and black caviar, as great as what they have been for our industry, now... horses have got win, win, win alongside their name. Doesn't everyone just jump on the bandwagon real quick and just start giving them the extra bit of hype? So they've all got to get beat sooner or later. And as Colin Madden, part owner of Black Caviar, told me on Friday, he said, Wayne, this was all surreal. I didn't realise that horses go amiss and things go wrong. Just like you turn up every week and you win 25 in a row. And we're actually laughing about it.
We've got a question from a listener here, Herb. Ask Hawksy how Supernova is going. What's the preparation? Is the Metropolitan on the radar?
Supernova's an import that we bought. He's the first one we bought that we paid a lot of money for. He ran second at Rose Hill, and then he won his next start, and then he got beaten in the chairman's, so which is too far back in the chairman's. He's on target for the Melbourne Cup. So is 400,000 other horses, but at the moment he's on song. Metrop, not so sure about the Metrop, to be honest. I wouldn't be rushing in to back him in the Metrop this early because we don't really know where we're going with him.
Mm. Okay. New season just around the corner, Wayne, yeah. And horses like Sylvia's Mother, who's a rising four-year-old, but you've got a lot of really promising younger talent as well. I'm thinking of horses like Spend, who won up here last week. Kappa Jack's been terrific through the winter. Caesar, we've only seen once in the winter dash. You must be excited, the team, about these young horses that are emerging into the new season for you.
Yeah, the Exceedances and Tropes, yeah, and Wild Planets, and we've got a lot of really nice horses this season coming up, Ray. And it's probably the first time since we've left Ingham's that we've got them layered. And what I mean layered is in different age groups.
Yep.
Our yearling batch, I don't know. I don't know anyone's ability yet. Really, it's too early. But see, we've got a lot of lovely yearlings as well. So the old cake, layer upon layer upon layer. We've got some really nice young horses, and look, they won't all come up because they don't. But I probably at the moment we obviously got Brutal, but we forgot about him.
Can't forget about him.
poor bugger. forgot about him, but obviously he's the star of the stable. But there's a few others there that can certainly step up to the plate. So it's good. The race is going to be split this spring carnival with Sydney and Melbourne, so it's going to. It'll be certainly going to play towards participants, that's for sure and certain. Mm. From race clubs' point of view, they're all fighting for the jockeys and the horses, but from our personal point of view with the owners and the trainers and the jockeys, I think it's fantastic, and we're going to have some good fun coming up and big decisions. Do we go to Melbourne? Do we go to Sydney? So I think it's a great thing myself.
As a punter, we're just spoilt for choice this coming season.
Stable's in a strong position. Good on you, Wayne. Well done yesterday on the win of Sylvia's Mother. Appreciate your time this morning.
Does anyone like that song, Sylvia's Mother?
No.
I don't, but...
what happened there? Dr. Hook gets a start from 1972.
Yes, yes. Before my time, boys.
You know what? It's about... I read about
AC/DC or something, I reckon. Cold Chisel.
Well, talking about go-to karaoke songs, Wayne, have you got one?
I stupidly, at my wedding, stood up and sung Video Killed the Radio Star, right? And that was my... that was probably my...
never,
probably my
yeah. never again, eh?
Well, you know what? That's why I ended up doing the National Anthem that year at Sandown, because they... They saw me on video doing the singing Video Killed the Radio Star. And Ray, I do rap myself as a singer. I have no ability and I don't have a voice, but geez, I give it a good hard go.
Wayne, you'll be happy to learn that Ray Thomas belted out his version of Hey Jude.
It was horrific too.
Karaoke bar in the city.
Absolutely horrific too, Wayne, I've got to tell you.
Yeah. I think the na 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 part goes well.
Exactly. I couldn't muck that one up. Hey, good on you, Wayne. Thanks so much for joining us, mate.
Na 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 na.
You think they're better than I could.
Oh, that was very good. Yeah. Right, you need to respond, Raymond.
I can't.
In the strongest fashion possible.
No, I'm without doubt the world's worst singer. World's worst cook and world... Actually, my cooking's improved while I've been on holidays, isn't it, Tim?
Can I ask, if I felt that I was the world's worst singer, why did you get up and sing last night?
Because Jono, who it's his birthday, asked me about...
That's the great Jono Farr, yes.
About 28 times, and I thought, well, I can't let the great man down on his birthday, so...
What did Jono go to, just out of interest?
Oh, everything.
he's still going.
He's sung everything, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. We're getting a lot of people putting in their songs here, which is not really our talk topic, but keep them coming. After this, we'll be asking Luke Burgess what his favourite karaoke song is.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about with Luke Burgess. He's making his boxing professional debut
Was Luke
Saturday.
Listening to our previous interview? Probably
of course,
thinks
yeah, he was on
it
the
It is a serious sports show. I hope Luke knows this.
It is, Luke. many listeners would describe it otherwise, but anyway. So, professional boxing debut, the performance of his former side, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, last night, and what the season holds for them. The health of his brother Sam, but I think the big question that everyone wants answered here this morning from Luke Burgess is, Luke, good morning. What is your go-to song in karaoke?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Yeah, that was quite interesting, the back end of that interview. I'm not much of a singer myself, but I think you've got to always try and pick a song that the crowd tend to join in with, so it drowns out how bad your singing is. So you can never go wrong with an old-school Oasis classic. I always like to pick Wonderwall or something like that.
Oh, well done. Luke, that's great advice. When Hey Jude came up last night, I thought, this is my chance, because everyone knows every word,
right.
And I thought, they're not going to hear me that well. But anyway, hey, Luke, professional boxing debut coming up against Bo Champion. Obviously, you've been an elite athlete at the top level for a long time. Can you explain how you go about, I guess, training yourself for what is essentially a very, very different sport?
Yeah, it is, and you know, it's completely different. The fitness that you require is totally different to what you need on a football field. Obviously, you're getting hit a lot more in the ring than you are on the field, I think. I've always had a massive, massive respect for the sport. You know, it's something that I've taken seriously. I've been trained. I think it's something that you have to take seriously. So it's just a case of getting used to. You're by yourself, essentially. There's no one else there. When you're on a football field, you've got all your other 12 teammates on there with you, helping you. So if you need a rest, your friends can cover for you. And in the ring, it's not like that. You're just by yourself, and it's one-on-one. So it's quite a different experience.
Based on this stage of your career, what encouraged you to take up the boxing, Luke?
Well, I mean, I've always watched boxing, and I've always... Like I said before, I've always had huge respect for anyone that would step in the ring, and I've always thought, I wonder what it'd feel like, you know, to actually do that myself and get that feeling. So I got an opportunity earlier this year, just from a conversation I had with the promoter, Mick Francis.
And yes.
He, you know, as promoters do, he sort of sold it to me, and one thing led to another, and you know, I was up in Brisbane doing a few sessions with one of his trainers there. It just one thing led to another, and before you knew it, I was on a really, really good fight card.
And Luke, do you know much about your opponent? Because the tip is Bo Champion can hold his hands up.
Yeah, I know Champ really well, actually. Yeah. I've played with him at South Sydney. We've remained friends after we both finished playing football. So I know plenty about him, but I don't know too much about his boxing skills.
Is that difficult, Luke, going into the ring against a teammate and a friend?
I think it's going to be weird, but on the night, I just think as soon as we both get in the ring, we've both been professionals. We can do business on the night, and once it's done, I'm sure it'll bring us closer as friends. I'll definitely respect Champ, so I'm sure that'll just grow after the fight as well.
The main event is Jai Opatai up against Nick Charalampos from New Zealand. Jai is a cruiserweight who is highly impressive. Have you been able to watch him in training? Have you done any sparring with him? What can you tell the listeners about Jai Opatai?
Yeah, Jai Opatai is an amazing fighter. I actually went to one of his earlier fights a few years ago. I'm good friends with Jeff Fennec, and I went along to one of his fights with Jeff. And I watched how well he boxed back then. I've lucky for me, I've not done any sparring with him. I think the promoter for this fight, he suggested he send Jai down and do some work with me. And I just thought, probably not good for my confidence if Jai comes down and just punches my head off. Jai's an amazing fighter. He's a great kid too. So I think he's going to go really far in the sport.
You know, can't wait for Saturday night, Luke. Best of luck with that. Can we go back to the NRL just quickly, Luke? And obviously you're keeping a close eye on South Sydney and Rabbitohs. Over that little mid-season slump during the Origin period, they've gone back-to-back, winning against the Cowboys last night. And in second position, they're well-placed in the run-up to the finals.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, there's a bit of a little bit of a hiccup before the last two wins. But we struggled through the Origin period with missing our Origin stars. And, you know, I think my brothers, they've missed a bit of football during that time as well. So hopefully now we're through the other side and we sat very pretty second on the table. So we just got to keep getting some bodies back fit and hopefully just make a nice little run now towards the end of the year.
And just on that, can you give us an update on Sam's health? There was a bit of a concern. I think that many people thought he'd be back for the Manly game, and then there was the talk about being rushed to hospital and because of the infection and so forth. Have you got an update on Sam?
Yes. So everyone thinks Sam's got an infection in his shoulder, but the actual truth is he needed a few weeks off just to fix a few cosmetic things up with his face. He's been off having his nose done and his teeth done and shit. There's nothing wrong with him at all. He's highly embarrassed now, so he's trying to keep a low profile. No, unfortunately, he got a bit of an infection in his shoulder after he had a bit of a clean out, so it's quite a serious thing, and they've fitted him with antibiotic drip, which is strapped to him 24 hours a day. It's something he has to carry around. So, just got to try and flush his infection out, and hopefully he'll be back playing soon.
Well, if it is an operation on his head, it probably best describe it as a big operation, isn't it?
Oh, Jimmy, you don't need to go there.
Right, hang on, I'm safe here. I'm safe here. Just don't let him know.
Word will filter back to Sam, though.
Luke, hey, great to have you on the program today. Good luck in that fight against Bo Champion. Incredibly daunting, walking out there on your own, as you say, to take on another man in the ring. And we wish you all the best with that.
Thank you very much, fellas. Really appreciate your time.
Cheers.
Thanks so much, Luke.
Former Rabbitohs front rower, very popular player in the league as well, Luke Burgess. And on that undercard of Jai Apatai up against Nick Charamlampus from New Zealand, he's got a good record.